It's been a dramatic week in the UEFA Champions League. Atletico went ahead at the Camp Nou, but the holders bounced back.
Back to Suarez with a header, and what a goal that is from Barcelona. Fantasy football from the UEFA Champions League champions, and they've turned it around. It's Suarez at the double.
Bayern's lead over Benfica came in double quick time. Bernat, good delivery in and headed in. How about that from Arturo Vidal to give Bayern the lead inside of 2 minutes? Manchester City have the edge after an extraordinary game in Paris.
It's 2-2 and it's Fernandinho who's levelled it up, and a second away goal for Mambo Pellegrini's men.
And there was quite a shock in Germany too.
Bruno Henrique, cross goal!
We have reaction from the likes of Luis Suarez, Joe Hart and Pep Guardiola, plus the best analysis of the week's quarterfinal first legs. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Hello, I'm Rob Daly. So we're now halfway through this season's quarterfinals, and there's still plenty to play for after four enthralling matches. Let's start with a classified check of the week's results. On Tuesday, Barcelona 2, Atletico 1, Bayern 1, Benfica 0. And on Wednesday, 2-2 between Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City, Wolfsburg 2, Real Madrid 0. Well, let's begin our review of the first leg action on Tuesday with that all-Spanish tie between holders Barcelona and Atletico. Watched by Richard Kaufman.
Quickly through, Torres, great chance, Fernando Torres scores a precious away goal for Atletico Madrid. He kisses the badge in front of the Barcelona faithful. I think it's going to be a second yellow and a red card for the goal scorer. This match has suddenly turned, hasn't it? 35 minutes on the clock, a moment of rashness for Fernando Torres. He's just been booked and he's been booked again. Fernando Torres has been sent off. Jordi Alba with a shot, it comes off Luis Suarez, and there is the equalising goal for Barcelona. It's Luis Suarez. Messi to Suarez, squeezes out to Neymar, back to Suarez with a header, and what a goal that is from Barcelona. Fantasy football from the UEFA Champions League champions, and they've turned it around. It's Suarez at the double. Barcelona 2, Atletico Madrid 1.
Yeah, a special showing from Luis Suarez at the Camp Nou in their quarterfinal first leg. UEFA.com's European football expert Paul Saffer is alongside me. Paul, great to have you on the show. The Spanish newspaper Marca ran a story related to a tweet from Fernando Torres saying it was one of his worst days as a footballer because of that red card. It was such a big turning point in the game.
It was. I think within 11 minutes he'd scored a goal, got booked again, was off, and two bookings, really, which were a bit silly on his behalf. I think a player of that experience probably shouldn't be making those sort of fouls, in that sort of pressure. You can understand in the pressure cooker atmosphere, Atletico having to defend, even then, even after they'd gone 1-0 up. But before that, after he scored his goal, Antoine Griezmann did force a save from Ter Stegen. So at that point, Atletico were on top. Once he was sent off, it was just a question of Atletico's remaining 10 players getting into the box, hoping to hold up. They weren't quite able to do so. And a pity for Torres, as you know, he's waited so long to get back to scoring for Atletico this season. Now he's doing so. Scored the weekend, scored again there. Just get back on the UEFA Champions League. Last UEFA Champions League goal, I think, had come against Atletico for Chelsea. And, of course, he scored that famous goal in the Camp Nou and Chelsea's win a couple of years before. But now he's got to sit out the second leg. He knows that he made a big mistake despite getting the goal. And he knows that that probably contributes to the fact that Barcelona will take a lead to Madrid next Wednesday.
Barcelona's two-goal hero, Luis Suarez, was pleased with how they managed to turn the game around.
I think when Fernando take a red card, it's difficult for them. And I think in the first 35 minutes before the red card, they play very well. We know that, and I think we have a good opportunity for the one man extra, and I think we play really good in the second half.
Well, another Spanish newspaper, Sport, ran a story related to an interview with Luis Suarez after the game, where he says the result now forces Atletico to attack in the second leg. Would you be inclined to agree with that, Paul?
Well, obviously, at some point, they're going to have to score. 1-0 would be enough. It seems they'll try and get an early goal and hold on like they did, or if they'll be cautious. I mean, it's Barcelona, a team you can't afford to give any opportunities at all, even though you saw a very rare Lionel Messi quiet display last night, not from Luis Suarez, of course, who I think now joint second top scorer in the UEFA Champions League behind Cristiano Ronaldo. But they obviously are going to have to come out of their shell more than they did in that period. I mean, it's understandable with 10 men they were going to defend, and that's what Atletico are good at anyway under Diego Simeone, giving their all, not allowing teams through. I mean, we even saw a bit of that against Benfica in the previous round. Benfica not necessarily a team with the attacking prowess of Barcelona, and that's what they're good at. At some point, they have to attack. They've got 90 minutes. They don't have to do it straight away. They don't have to score a goal. They might see if they can start to get Barcelona a bit frustrated first.
Atletico head coach Diego Simeone believes the tie is far from over.
We are still alive. They had the chance to score another goal against 10 men, and they missed it. This generates excitement for our supporters, who will come to our stadium knowing it will be a nice game for all of us.
So, Paul, who's going through?
Well, at the moment, you'd say Barcelona. I mean, despite the fact that probably the last two results haven't been Barcelona just winning this game, losing to Real Madrid, they probably would maybe expected two better performances. But they've got the advantage. I think they've shown they did outplay Atletico. Of course, Atletico have always given them a tough game, usually picking up a load of bookings. It was seven bookings plus the two for Torres last night. At least they ended up with nine men, as they often have against Barcelona. But it's very, very close. And we remember, of course, the famous game where Atletico clinched the league against Barcelona and a similar sort of result today. They'd love that. I mean, it is very close. Atletico know how to knock Barcelona out of the UEFA Champions League as well. So they've given themselves an opportunity, of course. You come away from the Camp Nou only one goal down, having got yourself an away goal. That's pretty good. They've got a chance, but I'd still say it's 70-30 to Barcelona.
And you can hear all the action from the second leg of that game on Match Day Live next Wednesday, the 13th of April. Also on Tuesday, the 2013 winners Bayern hosted Benfica in Munich. And your commentator for this one was Mark Scott.
Now out further wide to Bernat. Good delivery in and headed in. How about that from Arturo Vidal to give Bayern the lead inside of 2 minutes. It's Bayern 1, Benfica 0. What a start for the Bundesliga leaders. Jonas's turn, chance here, saved by Neuer. Well, from out of nothing, Benfica could have been level. Here come Benfica, low ball in towards the near post. Oh, and they want handball in there, do Benfica, and it's fired over the top by Nico Gaitan. Jonas was in there, it was a real goal scramble, and the Bayern bodies did just enough. Vidal, lovely pass through the centre, Lewandowski squares for Lahm. Oh, what a miss. What a missed opportunity. Benfica survive.
Mark Scott, our commentator for that narrow 1-0 victory for Bayern. Well, the home team's head coach, Pep Guardiola, was pleased with his side's display.
It's a very, very good team. But we make a good performance, except the last 20 minutes for the first half. The other we play good, we create enough chances to score more than one goal. But it is a Champions League, so I'm so happy for the performance of the goalkeepers, for the performance, for the strikers, midfielders, for Frank Ribery played amazing. So we are there. Of course, it doesn't matter the result here, so you have to fly to Lisbon and try to make a good performance.
Well, some teams don't go to Munich and come away with this kind of scoreline. Benfica is still very much in the tie. Here's their head coach, Rui Vitória.
We came with a strategy, and the players executed it well. I'm proud because it was a great performance where we showed our identity. It's not easy because many teams come here and have conceded a lot of goals. I'm not happy with the result, but I am glad about our personality and the performance.
Well, the German newspaper Bild said that Bayern's brilliance lasted just 109 seconds, but they remain optimistic that Bayern will progress. The general consensus, Paul, in the German press is that Bayern, by their high standards, lacked inspiration. How did you see it?
I agree. I think that's been the case, actually, for a few weeks for Bayern. They've not quite been the Bayern we saw maybe before the winter break, who were hammering everybody. They've you know, they've been a bit subdued. They've allowed Borussia Dortmund to slightly sneak up on them in the Bundesliga as well, and they probably were hoping they could have had the Bundesliga almost put to bed by now and really be concentrating on the UEFA Champions League. They still can't do that. And as you say, they probably, Lewandowski earlier in the season might have had a couple of goals last night. That didn't happen. Of course, Ederson in goal for Benfica did play very well. Benfica, you've got to give them credit for their performance. I think for Bayern, it's a good result. 1-0 is always a decent result in the UEFA Champions League because of the away goals factor, and it's a lead, of course, to take. Plus, of course, as we might discuss later, Jonas, the Benfica top scorer, the first player in Europe's big leagues to 30 goals in the league this season, is out suspended for the second leg. That will be a huge loss.
It certainly will. Jonas, how many goals has he got now? Did you say 30?
It's 30 in the league. He beat Zlatan by one day to 30 in the league because he played on Friday rather than Saturday.
I mean, talking about Benfica's overall season, I mean, they've managed to climb to the top of the Portuguese league, and that momentum must be helping them in the UEFA Champions League.
Definitely. The fact that they're still in this competition, they've made it through here, that's what's done. The fact they've gone above Sporting in the Portuguese league, and just as maybe Bayern's momentum has slowed a little, Benfica are coming into this full of confidence. I think even at 1-0 down, they probably thought we might be able to still get back into this, even though we've had a horrible start. And they proved it. They could have got an equaliser. They could have been going to Lisbon with something even better. And there's another point that Rui Vitória did point out, that they had 6,000 fans in Munich, which is pretty good. They have 60,000 next week at the Luz, and that could make it. That could be a factor as well. I think you can't write Benfica off. Bayern's still clear favourites for the tie, but Benfica have given themselves a chance. And I think Benfica, at the start of the season, you'll say, second leg of the quarterfinal, you're 1-0 down, going into a home leg. They'd have been delighted with that.
Yeah. How do you see Bayern playing it?
I don't think they'll change their style. They don't often change their style. It's the Pep Guardiola style, isn't it? Lots of passing, lots of attacking. They've got all those attacking players. Why not go for an away goal? They're certainly going to sit on a 1-0, that's for certain.
So coverage of that second leg will be on Match Day Live. That's next Wednesday, the 13th of April. Bayern go to Benfica with a 1-0 advantage thanks to Arturo Vidal's early goal in that game. OK, next up on Match Day Live, we're going to have analysis and reaction to all the drama from Wednesday night's quarterfinal ties.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til Rassismus.
Nein der Rassismus.
No to racism.
No al racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Arjen Robben, Gareth Bale and Lionel Messi are just a few of the UEFA Champions League stars saying no to racism. European football, united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with me, Rob Daly, onto Wednesday's action now. When Paris Saint-Germain, the French champions, hosted Manchester City at the Parc des Princes, watched by UEFA.com's Ian Danter.
Here we go, Ibrahimovic up against Joe Hart for the chance to give Paris Saint-Germain a precious lead in this UEFA Champions League quarter-final. Ibrahimovic saved! Brilliant save by Joe Hart! Fernandinho gets to the edge of the area, finds De Bruyne right-hand side of the box! Kevin De Bruyne! Back in the side and back amongst the goals! And Manchester City have a precious away goal in the Parc des Princes! Paris have just equalised with a free goal! Fernando is the guilty party to allow the ball to end up in the back of the net, and he just hit the ball against Ibrahimovic at the edge of the penalty area, and it deflected past Hart. An absolutely calamitous moment for Fernando. Di Maria strikes it left-footed. Cavani towards goal, and in by Rabiot on the rebound! The Paris Saint-Germain youth player who gives the side the lead. It's Bakary Sagna across the face of goal. It might drop for a great goal in! It's 2-2!
Yeah, an extraordinary game. 2-2 at the Parc des Princes. Ian Danter joins us now. Ian, that wasn't bad.
It was great entertainment, wasn't it? Rich entertainment for everyone inside the Parc des Princes. And despite the fact that Manchester City have two away goals to take to the City of Manchester Stadium. Both sides will feel and will argue the case that they have a chance. There's no way Laurent Blanc is giving this up, even though it's all square. They will both have cases to make that they can progress next week. It's really intriguing how Manchester City will approach it, knowing that they have the whip hand with two away goals next week, and what Paris will do without two of their most influential players. Because, of course, one of the important aspects of tonight's game, for those that aren't aware, is that Blaise Matuidi and David Luiz both picked up yellow cards tonight, so they're suspended for the second leg.
I think that almost sums up the way the game, within 10 seconds, the first action of the game, David Luiz committed a foul and got booked, knowing he was on the booking, and that almost set the stall for just some extraordinary things to happen in the game, be it a penalty saved by Joe Hart from Zlatan Ibrahimovic, be it then City taking the lead, be it the bizarre, completely bizarre way that Paris equalised, and even more bizarrely maybe the way Manchester City equalised, not so much a bizarre goal, but the fact he was such against the run of play. It was just a game with so many mistakes in as well, more than you'd expect really
fine
in
margins.
A UEFA Champions League quarter final, but that's the way it goes. It could easily have ended 4-1, say, to Paris very easily as well. It wouldn't have needed much for it to push that way, and that's what makes the second leg so unpredictable.
Fine margins, Rob, and you know, Manchester City will take heart from Joe Hart's return in goal. Penalty save, that's his third successive UEFA Champions League penalty save. And also Kevin De Bruyne's return from injury. He was outstanding tonight, along with Thiago Motta for Paris, who quite simply did not put a foot wrong. 100% pass success rate from Thiago Motta tonight. And he's not just a guy that passes backwards and square. This is a guy that plays incisive passes too. He was wonderful tonight. You know, you could have argued he deserved to be on the winning side. But it's all square going to Manchester on Tuesday of next week. And, well, given the entertainment and the mistakes and the drama that we were served up tonight, no reason why we can't get that again on Tuesday next week.
Let's hear from Manchester City's goalkeeper, Joe Hart.
Yeah, it was a crazy game that we were fully involved in and played our part in a pretty special night. I think it was a good game of football, especially after that last 0-0 against Kiev. So 2-2 is a result. We'll wait and see if it's a good result. You know, like I say, hopefully we're going to make them count. I thought we were dangerous the whole game. You know, PSG were dangerous, but it's the quarterfinal of the Champions League, so both teams are always going to have chances, and that was the case tonight.
Laurent Blanc said they wanted a clean sheet. OK, they didn't get that. They said they wanted the win. OK, but given the nature of their performance, given the dominance they had in spells, Ian, I'm sure it's even more harder to swallow that it's finished 2-2.
Well, Ibrahimovic, of course, will be thinking tonight when he goes to bed about the not just the penalty miss, but there was also a one-on-one chance he had when played through by Blaise Matuidi midway through the first half that he lifted over the crossbar. And in the second half, there was a wonderfully improvised header that he managed from across from the right that struck the angle of post and bar with Joe Hart, a spectator, standing on his goal line. And Edinson Cavani, on the follow-up, just hit the ball into the turf and over the bar, which was arguably Paris's best chance of the second period, other than the goal that they scored through Rabiot. And Ibrahimovic, of course, we know he plays next week. He'll be so important because you should always be wary when Zlatan's around. Maybe didn't have his best game tonight, but he still manages to score a goal.
Still the centre of everything.
Yeah, can still be part of things, absolutely. So if he plays a little bit below his capabilities and scores tonight, if he's on his game next week, he could do what he did to Nice last Saturday in Ligue 1 and score a hat-trick.
Absolutely could, and he scored a Stamford Bridge as well, didn't
yeah.
he? Let's hear from Manchester City's Manuel Pellegrini.
It's a very good result because we play against a very good team and away, and score two goals also is very important, but I think that the leg is absolutely open. We need to play a very good game in Manchester because we are going to play against a team that play well, that has very good players, and they normally, similar as our team, they try to play away or at home in the same way. So we have a difficult 90 minutes in Manchester, but I'm happy about what was the result tonight.
I suppose something Paris Saint-Germain can take hope from, Paul, is the fact that a lot of teams have gone to the City of Manchester Stadium and gotten results, not just Juve in the group stage. I'm thinking Liverpool and Leicester City and Tottenham in the Premier League have all gone there and managed to get victories.
Well, it's been that inconsistency of Manchester City. If they could produce the level of performance they're capable of on anything like a system basis, they'd be clear in the Premier League and you know, okay, they'd probably be in the same position in the UEFA Champions League, but in the Premier League, they've been vulnerable time after time after time, as you say, at home as well. And we know the nerves that can set in the UEFA Champions League for them, again, at home. And of course, we saw this at the very start of the season when they played Juventus, the nerves when they went ahead, led in two goals.
Good to that point. There was no reason to get nervous in that game.
Exactly, but that's the thing that's happened, is that could happen again. There they thought, well, we're winning, we're getting ourselves off to a great situation. All of a sudden, Juve had won, and who knows what had happened. Manchester United were a bit lucky that Juve dropped points in other games.
There's also the mental aspect of Manchester City preserving their place in the English Premier League for qualification for next season's UEFA Champions League. Unless, of course, they win it this year. You know, if they were to win it, of course, they're in no matter what. But they're in fourth place. They've got Manchester United, their City rivals, just behind them in the table. They've got West Ham United, who are moving to the new Olympic Stadium next year. And UEFA Champions League football would certainly grace that brand new venue next year. They've got a game against West Bromwich Albion to come at the weekend, then the return leg, and then they've got Chelsea, who are slightly resurgent under Chris Hiddink. These are really important times for Manchester City in the twilight of Manuel Pellegrini's time at the club before Pep Guardiola, who's keeping this watching brief at the moment. You know, he must be wondering, you know, what he's going to inherit by the time he arrives. I've got some quotes from Adrian Rabiot, who, of course, had put Paris Saint-Germain ahead in the second half. He said, "We could have kept the edge. They scored after a mix-up. They were lucky, but it was an open game. We still have all the chances to advance. We'll have to win there." So he's not thinking
we'll
about
have to win there.
We'll have to win there. He's not thinking a 2-2 draw is going to be good enough. They're going to have to go there and win, as far as he's concerned.
OK, let's hear more from the Paris Saint-Germain cap now. David Luiz has been speaking in the last few minutes.
I think it was not a good result for us, but it's still possible to qualify. The first half, we controlled the game. You can score more than 2 goals. And the second half was a bit 50-50. But this is football. This is Champions League. The other side is amazing club, is amazing team, fantastic players. So in the second game, it will be a fantastic game also.
Ian, who's going through?
Thanks for that. I've got to go with Manchester City. I would imagine that the city of Manchester Stadium will be packed to the rafters. The atmosphere, you know, there'll be a brooding intensity to the atmosphere. A player like Ibrahimovic won't be the slightest bit fazed by it. But, you know, these are heady days for Manchester City supporters. You've got to think about it. In the last 7 or 8 years, they've experienced things they never thought that
Absolutely.
They'd see. And they're on the brink of their first ever UEFA Champions League semi-final. Will that euphoria and that notion of the unknown sweep them through? With Luiz and Matuidi missing, it's important for Paris Saint-Germain that they get the midfield right and the defence right. Does Stambouli come back in? Is Marco Verratti anywhere near fit? Is Pastore anywhere near fit? Laurent Blanc's got to find a way to reshape things.
He does indeed. Ian, thanks. We'll get your man of the match shortly. To John Bradley now, in a moment, because on Wednesday, the first time quarterfinalist Wolfsburg started their tie against the 10-time winners Real Madrid. Commentary from John Bradley.
Vieirinha switching the play to Draxler, isolating Danilo over on the left side, gets to the byline, crosses left footed, and Schürrle goes in with a challenge. His appeals for a penalty, and it's been given. Schürrle caught by Casemiro, and Wolfsburg have a penalty. It's Ricardo Rodriguez. It's a lengthy run-up with that ponytail. Strikes it left-footed and scores. Keylor Navas is beaten, and against the run of play, Wolfsburg, with their first effort really on goal, have taken the lead. It's Wolfsburg 1, Real Madrid 0. Here's Draxler driving forward away from one. Plays the ball to the right side of the penalty area. Bruno Henrique across goal! Who's in on goal, and he's blazed it over the bar from 10 metres. That could have killed Real Madrid off, possibly in the tie. André Schürrle misses what really was a great opportunity.
And we can speak to John Bradley now. John, where does this result rank in Wolfsburg history, do you think?
Well, I think more recognised followers of Wolfsburg and the Bundesliga have written tonight that it's the greatest result in the club's history. It was a sensational performance. It must be said that it was going to be a difficult night for them, especially with Real Madrid going into the game off the back of their win against Barcelona at the weekend with only 10 men, of course. But Real Madrid weren't really at it tonight, and it just shows the dangers of football, really, what can change in a few days. Wolfsburg defended like Trojans. They dug very deep, and they just managed to find a couple of really good breakaways throughout the course of the game and could have won by even more. That said, Real Madrid did have quite a lot of chances.
Let's hear from Wolfsburg's head coach next, Dieter Hecking.
It was a great performance from the whole team. I think we believe on our chance to beat Real Madrid. We had a little luck in the first 10 minutes, I think, but then the team was closed and we get our chance and we take it.
They certainly did take their chances, John, because opening stage to the game, I think you said in commentary, against the run of play.
Real Madrid started tremendously well. They looked like a side that had come off the back of the win against Barcelona, and we were just waiting for them to get the goal in this game. They were so dominant. They were having chances. They were pushing Wolfsburg deeper and deeper. But then Julian Draxler got into the game, and he really did change the course of it. It was two runs from him that set up both goals. It was his cross that led to the penalty for the foul on Schürrle. And then, of course, he set up Bruno Henrique to find Maxi Arnold. And I think that it sums up that while Real Madrid were looking good going forward, there was perhaps a little vulnerability at the back, and Zinedine Zidane has echoed that because he said that he's not happy with how the game went, especially the first half. That's football. That's how difficult it is. That's what happens when you don't play with intensity from the start. We have to rest and think about the return leg because we still have the chance to change everything. They do, Rob, but it's going to be a real uphill struggle for this because the last eight occasions they've lost the first leg, they have gone out.
Let's get the thoughts of Julian Draxler, who's been speaking in the last few minutes.
We really enjoyed every minute of the game, and of course the result is really, really good for us. We know that we can play football, that we are not on the same level like Real, but I think the key was the fighting spirit today that we had on the pitch. And I'm really proud of the team and hope that we can manage that. It's nearly the same game in the second leg of the quarterfinals again. We made it that far, and now we want to go on and carry on, and I think it was the first good step tonight.
Well, only two teams have come back from a 2-0 first leg away loss to go through in this competition. Barcelona to AC Milan in 2013 and Manchester United under David Moyes against Olympiacos the year before. And John, matters weren't made easier certainly by the fact that their number nine went off injured in the first half, I think, from memory.
Karim Benzema had two very good chances. One excellent save by Diego Benaglio in a one-on-one, and then he put a header wide from an excellent Gareth Bale cross. Two really good opportunities. He then clattered into Naldo, and they crashed knees together, and he was forced to limp out of the game. It was about 15 minutes after he did the damage, so it's obviously not something that was a strain or anything like that. He's obviously just very, very sore, but it will make him a doubt, of course, for the return game next week. And without him, they certainly didn't seem to have the same firepower up front than they had with him on the field. And tonight, I think, is the first time I've seen Cristiano Ronaldo have six or seven pretty decent chances in a UEFA Champions League game and not look like scoring.
Zinedine Zidane said it wasn't about a lack of confidence. We need to be united and continue what we've been doing. Also speaking this evening, Real Madrid forward Gareth Bale.
We didn't expect to. We obviously expected to win the game, but things can happen like this in football. We know it wasn't a great result and maybe not a great performance tonight, but we know it's only halfway through and we've got time to put it right. We weren't good enough tonight, and we have another game now to put it right, and hopefully we can. We just need to make sure now, come the second leg, that we're on it and we win by three goals.
John, you said he was one of the shining lights for Real Madrid.
He was the one bright spot for them. He really was. Anything good that Real Madrid did tonight came through Gareth Bale. And he's had a difficult year as the Welsh international, but he was the bright spot for them. And if he plays like that in the second leg and a few others step up their game, because there was a few who you would expect from Real Madrid to be right up there, standing out in the middle of the field to stand up for their club. They weren't really at it tonight, as Gareth Bale said, and they need to be at it next week.
OK, John, so who's going through from this one, do you think? But I mean, a great situation for the Germans.
It's a fantastic situation for the Germans, and they'll kick themselves if they don't go through. And I'm going to stick with them. I think they're going to hold on in Madrid.
Good man. And who's your man of the match?
I think that it's got to be Naldo, because Naldo wasn't even supposed to play before the end of the season, never mind tonight with a shoulder injury. But he strapped himself up, put his boots on, went out there and showed all those years of experience. He was an absolute colossus at the heart of their defence.
John Bradley, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Ian Dante, your man of the match in the game of the Parc des Princes.
Thiago Motta for Paris Saint-Germain. Brilliant passing, faultless.
And Paul Saffer, your man of the match as well.
I agree completely. I think Joe Hart also takes a lot of credit.
Wonderful save from Joe Hart from the penalty spot. And it has been two great nights of football. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Barcelona and Bayern both have one goal leads going into second legs that are away from home. Manchester City surely have the edge after that 2-2 draw with Paris Saint-Germain, while Real Madrid will now have to try to overturn Wolfsburg's 2-0 advantage at the Bernabeu. For the Bundesliga club, it's one of the biggest wins in the club's history. Don't forget you can join us again from 19:30 CET next Tuesday the 12th and Wednesday the 13th of April for full coverage of the four quarter-final second leg ties. But for now, from Paul Saffer, John Bradley, Ian Danter, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Back to Suarez with a header, and what a goal that is for Barcelona. Fantasy football from the UEFA Champions League champions, and they turned it around. It's Suarez at the double.
Now out further wide to Bernat, good delivery in and headed in. How about that from Arturo Vidal to give Bayern the lead inside of 2 minutes.
It's 2-2, and it's Fernandinho who's levelled it up, and a second away goal for Manuel Pellegrini's men.
Bruno Henrique, cross goal!
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.